All right. We are here on the first day of the UNLV Gambling and Risk Taking Conference. I wish I knew the number off the top. I think it's like the 13th or the 17th or something. Gotcha. We're here in beautiful Las Vegas. Not a very far drive for me, but a very far journey indeed for our guest, Richard Bayless, today. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm very well. Thanks, Jess. Thanks for speaking to me.
So, for those who may not know, you've been with Playtech for about 10 years now, right?
Yes, yeah. 8.5 years at
sure.
Playtech.
And before then, you actually came from the regulatory side with the UK Gambling Commission, correct?
Yes, yeah. I joined the UK Gambling Commission in, December 2006. So 11 years of experience at the regulator, 8.5 with Playtech.
How did that come to be? How did you get into the gambling industry in general, and then specifically on the regulatory side?
I think like most people, by chance.
Sure,
saw an interesting job advert for a 10-month contract.
Yeah.
Joined the Gambling Commission when they were licensing the industry for the first time in 2007.
Yeah.
And it really found it interesting, fascinating topic, how you balance regulation with business activity, how you protect players, do all those different things, how betting integrity is to sports, like so many different interesting facets of it. Never left, never wanted to leave. It's really interesting.
So take me back to that time, that era when you started in kind of the mid-aughts. What was the kind of industry outlook at that time, like when you first started, and kind of how did that evolve over the course of your time at the commission?
Well, at that time, regulation was very new. So
sure.
Italy had regulated its market more on a point of consumption basis. The UK, Great Britain, regulated it on a point of supply.
Okay.
So, it still allowed this idea that if you were based in Europe, you could serve the British market from offshore without a license, but regulation was brand new for all the operators. It's the first time a lot of them had been regulated and had been required to be regulated. So the principle at that time was, if you had equipment based in Britain, you must have a license. You could base yourselves offshore in Gibraltar, Alderney, Isle of Man, or Europe and still serve the British market, but if you were here in Britain, you were licensed and had to meet UK requirements.
So when you transitioned over to the industry and joining Playtech, kind of tell me about that transition, kind of what brought that on, what made you want to leave the commission and specifically kind of go into the industry side?
Yeah, like I say, my job at the commission sort of straddled regulator and industry. So I was trying to be a translation translation layer between the two.
Sure.
So trying to get across what the challenges that the industry faces, but also explain to operators and suppliers in the industry why the commission is doing what it is. They've got challenges, they've got licensing objectives to meet, and they're quite broad. And like everyone, there's pressure. You're driven to adopt certain policies or implement certain policies for a variety of factors. Some of it is down to, what you're seeing as a regulator. Some of it is because of, the mood around gambling. And so I hadn't thought about leaving. And then Playtech approached me. Interesting company in the supplier space. Ability to influence, not just in their own business, but elsewhere as well. And, a global business as well, so moving away from just the British market, which I knew well, to the challenge of looking at how regulations evolved and developing in other markets too.
Was there any sort of I'm sure was there any kind of sense when you joined that there was kind of like, oh, this guy that we've been meeting with for so long and coordinating with, and now in some ways probably fighting against in some aspects of it, and then now he's on our team and now he's kind of fighting for us. Was that kind of did you have that kind of sense at all, or was it more natural than that?
No, not really. I mean, I hope Playtech approached me because they understood that I know the
sure.
gambling regulatory market. I'm not going to argue for things that are indefensible.
Mm-hmm.
What I do want is good regulation that protects people and supports business. And they don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think if you get the balance right, then you can have proper protections in place and an interesting, innovative gambling market, which it is constantly changing. People enjoy gambling. you know, they often gamble in small amounts. You know, we're here in Vegas where it's on a wholly different scale to what we see in the UK. But, you know, people enjoy having a bet on sports. They enjoy playing slot games or poker, and they can do so safely, but it, you know, has, you know, responsibility on operators to support that. So it isn't just the regulator designing regulations, it's, you know, the operators taking those and trying to make them work for their business. They know their players best, so how do they apply them in practice?
So all your years between, you know, regulating the industry and participating in it, are you a gambler yourself? Do you have any games you like to play, any bets you like to make, or are you abstaining?
Well, I'd never gambled until I joined the Gambling Commission, and I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to be involved in regulating, I need to understand what gambling is. So I never even played the lottery at that point. But, yeah, I mean, don't, you know, sports, and you know, it shows how, you know, the presentation earlier about, you know, skill and, you know, watch loads of football, loads of soccer, but how often can I predict the winner of a game, let alone the correct score? It's, you know, it does keep it interesting, but, you know, there's so many factors that, you know, you'd love to be able to predict the results. But yeah, occasionally have a bet, and yeah, in Vegas, you know, seeing the slots and yeah, it's, again, it's just a very, very different climate, so you can understand why, you know, the attraction of Vegas is you come here for a trip, book your flights, pay for your hotel, you've got a budget for gambling, you stick to that, hopefully, and, you know, enjoy the experience, and then go home, and, you know, a lot of people don't then gamble, do they?
So if we look at your tenure with Playtech now, specifically, kind of, how would you describe your role within the business, at, you know, your current role, and kind of how has the company or your experience with the company kind of evolved over that time? Because it's kind of interesting. So it's kind of been an equal split, like a decade on the regulatory side and a decade on the industry. So how has the industry side of it evolved for you since you started?
Yeah, it has changed rapidly. So I think, you know, early days, there was very slow incremental change. But I think in the last few years, yeah, when I joined Playtech, we had a handful of licenses in different markets because not many countries had regulated at that point. Now we're up to 38 licenses in, you know, 38 different countries all over the globe. You know, we're very, you know, diverse in the markets that we serve, so that has changed. And just the proliferation of different requirements, that has been really interesting. That's probably the biggest change, that we went from maybe, you know, regulators being influenced by one another and maybe making a few changes, adopting certain requirements to suit local circumstances. But I think in the last few years, you've seen lots and lots of different approaches. You know, some are very hands-off, others are very interventionist, and, you know, those change can change quite rapidly. So the, you know, the pace of change of regulation has been a surprise. You know, just how quickly, you know, a regulator will move on from a policy that they don't feel is working, and all the problems that then creates for the industry that you've adapted once and you've now got to make more changes to meet the new requirements.
So, and that pertains to both, like, mature markets or existing markets, and also all the new markets that have been stood up in recent years?
Yeah. I mean, mature markets, kind of a different issue. You know, it's potentially harder to make changes where you've got a lot of sort of regulatory and, you know, compliance and tech legacy. You've built things that, you know, were intended to work with the regulation that you had at the time. And that's where, you know, the interesting challenge in the day-to-day job is how we support the regulatory changes within the business. You know, make sure that we are, you know, ready for deadlines for new markets. We want to be really early into the market. We want Playtech to be there from day one when a market opens up. And that means being really flexible on how we develop our software, how we develop the platform, making sure we can compete. And, you know, part of that competition now is about being flexible and being able to adopt change and implement it quickly, effectively, and, you know, ensuring it's compliant.
How does those processes, like, so all of the work that goes into getting ready for a market or to enter a market versus once you're live, How would you kind of categorize those two processes? Are they similar, or is it completely one and then different to the other?
I mean, they have to be linked. They are very distinct. Okay. But, you know, that first part of preparing for the market is kind of, it's about intelligence. It's understanding what the climate is like. Mm-hmm. You know, are the local peculiarities that you need to adopt in the business? What's the motivation of the regulator? What, you know, what challenges have they been set by their governments or the legislators that are driving the regulation? You know, it's important to know what the intent of requirements is, because that then informs you in the next phase when you're looking to develop your solution to a particular regulation. You know, in lots of cases, because we're in so many markets, we can take something that's already been developed and, you know, lift it and, you know, either make small changes or no changes and it's compliant. But where you've got these new regulations, new requirements, you know, understanding what the regulator and the politicians are expecting is really important, because, you know, you have to get it right.
Now that you've been around for a lot of this expansion and you've have obviously so much experience with so many different markets and regulators, do you notice any, and to be clear, I want to preface that this is not at all intended to be a criticism of regulators or to be derogatory to them, but have you noticed any trends in terms of, like, are regulators maybe behaving the same way that they did in the past, or do you find that kind of as expansion grows, or like as the number of markets grows and all these new regulators are kind of forming themselves up, do you think that they kind of are becoming more like each other, or there's just kind of a randomness to these regulators that you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, regulators have a really complex job. Sure. You know, they've got to balance so many competing priorities, competing demands from all the different stakeholders. But yeah, in some areas, you know, there is harmonization, probably the wrong word from a European context. Sure. But, you know, we are seeing in tools, perhaps, you know, kind of the wider adoption of a certain suite of RG tools, safer gambling tools, but there is always an anomaly. So, you know, it seems to be that each newly regulated market is, you know, introducing like a, you know, a reasonable subset of new requirements, which, again, you know, is difficult, because does anyone know how they work? You know, from a platform perspective, do we know how to develop them? Do we know how to test them? But also from the regulator perspective, do you know what you're going to get from this? You know, it might sound, you know, like a strong requirement to have, but when it's released, will it have the effect that you want? So, you know, we are interested in how you evaluate changes. You know, we would like to see, you know, following the evidence more, following the research when you're designing new policy, because, you know, it has a really big impact. We share the goals with regulators that, you know, we want a safe, fair, responsible market, but yeah, there are things that make that difficult. So if, you know, industry misunderstands what the regulator wants and regulators introduce requirements that don't really benefit players, they don't protect them in the way that they thought they would, you know, it's, you know, that is, you know, is one area where, you know, regulators maybe aren't looking at what others have done.
Sure.
And being sort of critical of, will this work in my market?
Yeah. What are some of, when you are thinking of tailoring, you know, compliance and RG initiatives to specific markets or maybe regions more broadly, what are some of the factors that you are considering? And I'm assuming, obviously, must be partly what the regulator is telling you. That's probably the easiest one. But there's also player dynamics. There's other dynamics. But what are some of the other dynamics that you consider?
Yeah, so the regulation is really non-negotiable. Sure. Once it's drafted, it's there. But sure. After that, it's trying, you know, it's using all the intel you've got to understand the market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, operators that are going to use the tools, it's really important to get their view on it, because, you know, they'll have, in most cases, had relationships with players through, you know, non-remotes, you know, bricks and mortar, or they may have done, you know, business in other markets that are similar. So, yeah, how do you speak to players? You know, you won't speak to a US player in the same way that you would to one in the UK. You know, we're kind of same language, lots in common, but also, you know, the approaches to it are very, very different. You know, I think much more in the US it's about, you know, freedom of choice, isn't it? And, you know, players will expect to be able to choose what they want to do, not directed in how they spend their money gambling by an operator or a regulator. So yeah, that's important one for us. You know, products also important. You know, are there any local games that you don't have in your suite of products? Themes are quite different across different markets. You know, we see Latin America's got a very different sort of demand on games than Europe. So, you know, Brazil means that you've got a critical mass in that market where suppliers are looking for, you know, Brazil and LATAM specific content. Whereas previously it was maybe, you know, less variance across some of the European markets. You know, we're starting to see different content that be more localized now for different markets.
If you look ahead, and I want to frame this in a way, so I want to think about the kind of the biggest opportunity and the biggest challenge. But I guess maybe more specifically, or put it another way, what is the thing that, you know, when you think about your work and your role that maybe worries you the most or stresses you the most, or maybe the thing that you sit at night and you think, oh man, this is just like at the top of my mind, and then conversely, the other thing that is like the thing that gives you the most excitement, the most optimism, or the thing that you look and say, this is a really big opportunity that we have here. Does anything come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really dynamic market, which is why it's always in, you know, it's such a dynamic industry and sector, always something different. So, you know, it's both the challenge and, you know, the thing that scares you is, sure, how quickly will things change? You know, how many different markets can you manage regulatory change for at the same time? You know, opening lots of markets at the same time, or huge consultations that go through which require, you know, massive changes. You know, how does a business, you know, compete with all those things going on? You know, you want to be able to innovate, but also you've got these kind of non-negotiables, which is, you know, having, you know, maintaining your license. You know, you need to comply, and that's first and foremost. It's then what you do around, you know, making your products more exciting, adapting to, you know, new sort of consumer trends. Meeting the demand and continuing to innovate when you have got lots of reg requirements that you know you can't avoid.
Certainly. Well, this has been great, Richard. Thank you so much. Is there anything else? I mean, this will be published after the conference is over, but we're sitting here at the very beginning of it. Is there anything else that this week that you're looking forward to, or that you're really excited about?
I mean, it's always just interesting to hear different perspectives. It's a really broad conference. There's so many people from so many different backgrounds, different countries. Always learn something on this, and, you know, build up relationships, because, you know, the things that particularly interested for here are, you know, use of technology, how you protect players, and, you know, people's experience from different markets is, you know, always useful for us to take back, and, you know, gives us some of that intel that's important to, you know, to meet the expectations of different jurisdictions.
Definitely. Well, thank you again, sir, and best of luck to you.
Okay, thanks very much.